10 years ago, three best friends, Bess, Joni, and Evangeline, traveled to Greece for a post-graduation celebration at Evangeline's family home on Tinos Island. What should have been the perfect summer turned tragic when Evangeline fell to her death from a cliffside path. The aftermath was brutal. Bess and Joni were charged with murder, vilified by international media as sex-crazed Jezebels, and imprisoned for 6 months before being acquitted. Now, Bess lives in self-imposed isolation in a desert cabin, working remotely and avoiding human connection. Her carefully constructed peace shatters when Joni appears at her door after a decade of silence, desperately needing an alibi. A local teenager named Willa is missing, and Joni is the prime suspect. The request pulls Bess back into a web of secrets she spent years trying to escape. What really happened that night in Greece? Why did Joni suddenly cut off all contact after their acquittal? And most urgently, is history repeating itself with Willa's disappearance? As Bess reluctantly agrees to help, she's forced to confront the question: how far should loyalty extend when protecting someone might mean enabling their darkest impulses? The friendship between Bess, Joni, and Evangeline pulses with adolescent intensity. Each occupies a distinct role. Wealthy Evangeline controls with precision, fierce Joni masks insecurities with bravado, and Bess struggles in the middle, constantly trying to keep pace. Their dynamic shifts through subtle power plays and changing alliances. When Evangeline's brother Theo arrives with friends, their balance fractures. Bess's feelings for Theo create tension with possessive Evangeline, while Joni, fearing abandonment after her father's departure, manipulates both friends to maintain control. The portrayal captures teenage friendships' suffocating intensity with painful authenticity. The whispered complaints, exaggerated personas around boys, and casual cruelty they inflict on each other. The girls exist in an emotional pressure cooker, each dreading the separation college will bring. The friendship ultimately shatters when Bess and Evangeline have a vicious argument on that fatal cliffside path. Bess walks away, leaving Evangeline alone. What happens next will haunt both survivors for a decade. Slut, murderer, party girl, these labels stuck after Evangeline's death. The media transformed three complex young women into caricatures: Evangeline as the angelic victim, Bess and Joni as villains. A harmless photo of them eating ice cream became evidence of callousness. Private messages were twisted into damning exhibits. One article even fabricated blood rituals that somehow became accepted as fact. This media portrayal reshaped their self-perception. Bess retreated entirely, making herself so small she barely existed. Joni took the opposite approach, becoming a self-help guru, teaching others to choose their way to happiness, though remaining defined by trauma. 10 years later, when Willa disappeared, the media immediately linked it to Evangeline's death, proving Bess and Joni would always be viewed through that one tragic summer. We continue to flatten women into simple narratives, victim or villain, angel or demon, with little room for the messy, contradictory truth of their humanity. Trauma reshapes both women in profoundly different ways. Bess chooses invisibility, working remotely as a dating app moderator, where her only options are to ignore, block, or warn, a perfect metaphor for her approach to life. Her isolated desert cabin with sparse furnishings reflects her emotional state, a life designed to leave no trace. Joni's response is opposite, but equally extreme. She transforms trauma into currency as a successful motivational speaker with a curated public image. Yet despite her Malibu beach house and designer clothes, her life remains constrained, as shown when she fantasizes about paddleboarding far out to sea. The novel demonstrates how trauma doesn't just change who you are, it alters who you might have become. Bess wonders about who I might have been if I'd just tried harder, been better, not let the shame take hold. Most poignantly, trauma isolates. When Bess returns to Calabasas after prison, her family treats her like a fragile stranger, using euphemisms like the accident or when you were away, unable to directly address what happened. I'd constructed a narrative that Joni never lies to protect myself and justify bad choices, Bess realizes, 10 years too late. Throughout the novel, memory proves dangerously unreliable and lies become comfortable shelters. The central mystery revolves around Eveline's death. The official story that all three girls were together proves false. Bess carried guilt for a decade, believing she caused Eveline's death by leaving her alone after their argument. She later discovers Joni was actually present when Eveline fell and had lied about both being there and telling Eveline about Theo and Bess's plans. Both women constructed livable narratives, Bess believing Joni protected her out of loyalty, while Joni crafted a story where she was protector rather than betrayer. This theme extends to Willa's disappearance. Joni's story evolves from claiming Willa seeks attention to admitting a physical altercation occurred before her disappearance, forcing Bess to question both her friend and her own judgment. I came here because there isn't anyone else in the world I trust as much as I trust you, Joni tells Bess when she appears. Despite a decade of silence, Bess provides an alibi, demonstrating the profound pull of their childhood bond. Throughout the novel, loyalty functions as both virtue and trap. Joni's attachment manifests as fear of abandonment, leading her to manipulate situations to keep Bess and Evangeline close, using their secrets against them. Bess's loyalty compels her to lie to investigating officers, her husband Marcus, her parents, and, most destructively, herself. This misplaced loyalty costs them dearly. Years of isolation, fractured relationships, and lives constrained by fear. The novel questions, are there moral limits to what we owe our oldest friends? The breaking point comes when Bess discovers Willa's phone in Joni's drawer. Though Bess declares, "I can't save you anymore," Joni's response is chilling. "It's too late, Bess. Whatever you do now, we'll always be bound together." What is it that people beg for, pray for, dream about? They want to be happy, and they will never rise to their feet until you make them forget what happiness is. This Zamyatin quote from Joni's article highlights the core dilemma between comfortable lies and painful freedom. Initially, both women choose happiness over freedom. Bess accepts a limited, safe existence, while Joni creates an illusion of freedom through success, yet remains trapped by secrets. Neither finds peace. Genuine freedom begins when Bess acknowledges the truth to Stephen and Theo, admitting she wasn't present when Evangeline died, and confronting Joni about her decade of lies. This moves her toward authentic liberation, allowing her to imagine a future beyond shame. Joni's fate remains ambiguous. Her disappearance, possibly suicide by paddleboarding out to sea, suggests she couldn't reconcile truth with survival, though her final article offers a more honest portrayal of all three women. The novel concludes with Bess realizing that true freedom comes from integrating the past into an authentic present, a freedom neither hiding nor reinvention could provide.